The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 13, verse 13 to 14. It is page 209 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia. When John left them to return to Jerusalem, from Perga they went on to Pisidian Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. Amen. Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia from Cyprus Island, their first mission field. But John, called Mark, who was Paul and Barnabas' attendant, left them without permission and returned to Jerusalem. With respect to this, we examined this last week. Pamphylia, at the time, was at Asia Minor, that is, the coastal area of Mediterranean Sea in southern Turkey today. And Perga, where Paul and his companions arrived, was the most important city in Pamphylia, which was the protectorate of the Roman Empire. Perga, which was built by the Persian Empire in 12th century BC, was conquered by Alexander of Greece in 334 BC, and thereafter saw its golden age after being incorporated into the Roman Empire. If you visited archaeological sites of Perga, the excavation of which began in 1947, it is difficult not to be overwhelmed by the enormous size of that city, the scale of its outdoor stadium, outdoor theaters, markets, and temples vividly show, and what a flourishing city it was 2,000 years ago. The verse 14 reveals what Paul and Barnabas did in that city after the attendant John went back to Jerusalem. From Perga, they went on to Pisidian Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. The leader of the mission team, Paul, strangely passed by Perga, a large city which was heavily populated, and headed straight away towards Pisidian Antioch. As I said last week, in order to arrive at Pisidian Antioch, which was 200 kilometers away from Perga, one had to first go over the Taurus Mountains. It was extremely difficult to climb over Mount Taurus with rugged, steep, and high peaks on foot. And besides, it was incomparably dangerous because the hideaways of bandits were located throughout its ranges. When Paul later spoke of being exposed even to the danger from bandits for the sake of spreading the gospel in 2 Corinthians, it is presumed that he is referring to his experience of crossing over Taurus Mountains. At this point, that we must ask ourselves two questions. The first is why Paul, after making the effortful journey to reach Perga from Cyprus Island, simply just passed by such major city. At that time, Paul was not some traveler with nothing to do. He was Quiperitus of God, who had come to Perga in order to let God's love and life flow under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. For such purpose, there was no better place than Perga, the first place in Asia Minor that Paul stepped onto. Perga was by far a larger city than Salamis of Cyprus or Paphos that he had gone before. If it were Paul that we have come to know, then it would only have been right for him to have preached the gospel with enthusiasm to people of that great city that he took efforts to get to. But for some reason, Paul simply passed by Perga. The second question is, given that Paul had no choice but to pass by Perga, why he had to make Pisidian Antioch his next destination, that is, at the other side of the rough and high Taurus Mountains? Nearby Perga, there were other large cities such as Attalia, Apendos, and Side. And accordingly, if there were unavoidable reasons that prevented him from spreading the gospel in Perga, then there was the easier alternative of going to nearby cities to deliver the gospel. And considering that almost everyone in that region was completely unaware of the gospel, never heard of the gospel, the meaningfulness of spreading the gospel itself would have been the same, no matter where the gospel was preached. Therefore, there doesn't seem to have been any reason why Paul, risking his life, had to go over Pisidian Antioch, which was not less than 200 kilometers away, and by crossing over the rough and high peaks of Taurus Mountain. But we must ask ourselves why Paul went to Pisidian Antioch, of all places, a far way off, in spite of all the difficulties posed by the Taurus Mountains. The answers to these seemingly difficult questions were revealed by Paul himself. Pisidian Antioch was a city belonging to Galatia, a protectorate of Roman Empire. Therefore, that Paul sought out Pisidian Antioch meant that he took his first steps into Galatia regions. Thereafter, Paul left Pisidian Antioch and continued to visit Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe of Galatia one by one. And as a result of such visits, churches were planted throughout Galatia. And in the subsequent letter that Paul wrote for believers in Galatia is the Galatians of the New Testament. In Galatians, Paul reveals the reason that he came to take his first steps onto Galatia as follows. Galatians chapter 4, 13. As you know, it was first because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. The reason that Paul passed by Perga, that he sought out with efforts and went to Pisidian Antioch by crossing the rough and high peaks of Taurus Mountains, was because of his physical illness. The Greek word asthenia, translated as yakham in Korean, is a word with the meaning of disease. The reason that Paul had to head for Pisidian Antioch and pass by Perga was because at that time he was suffering from a disease. There are many theories about what that disease actually was. Some argue, first of all, that it was disease that Paul chronically had, such as eye disease or epilepsy. But such argument is not very convincing. If Perga was a harmful place for his chronic disease, so he had to give up being in Perga, then there wouldn't have been any reason for him to have made Pisidian Antioch at the other side of the rough and high Taurus Mountains his next destination. And furthermore, why would he have returned to Perga that wasn't good for his illness on his return trip? But Acts chapter 14, verse 25 testifies that Paul, who had let God's love and life flow in the regions of Galatia, on his way back, returned to Perga, that he gave up in today's passage and preached the gospel there. So rather, the argument that Paul had contracted a disease such as malaria, which was endemic to Perga, which happened to be a low-lying area and were overrun with all kinds of disease, is accepted as more of a standard theory. The standard of medical practice 2,000 years ago were much poorer than today, such that they cannot be compared. One of the best known ways at the time to treat a patient suffering from an endemic disease was to move the patient to an environment totally opposite to the environment where the disease was contracted. Opposite to Perga, a low-lying area which was hot and humid every day, Pisidian Antioch was cool and dry every day, located at a high altitude area of 1,000 meters above the sea level. And therefore, we can see that Paul, who unexpectedly contracted an endemic disease as soon as he got there, sought out Pisidian Antioch, which had the opposite environmental conditions from Perga, in spite of all the dangers and even having to cross over the rough and high peaks of Taurus Mountains. And that Paul returned to preach the gospel at Perga on his way back probably means that he was completely cured of the endemic illness he had contracted at Perga while he went around the high altitude areas of Galatia. If Paul, who had arrived at Perga, had not contracted the endemic disease, he would not have had the reason to go to Pisidian Antioch, crossing over the rugged and steep Taurus Mountains. In such case, Paul would have first preached at the large city of Perga, his destination, and would have continued to cities nearby Perga to spread the gospel, as he had done in Salamis at Cyprus, Island, and Paphos. However, as Paul confessed, the unknown endemic illness that came over Paul at Perga led him unexpectedly to Pisidian Antioch in Galatia. Then, let us think about the situation from Paul's position. As Paul had a heart full of fiery love for men, unmatched by anyone, just imagine how captivated he would have been with burning passion to deliver God's love and life to people of Perga as he sailed from Cyprus to Perga. As soon as he arrived at Perga, he had the plan to preach God's love and life to people there. But how great his disappointment must have been when he became a victim of an endemic disease as soon as he arrived at Perga, before he had a chance to speak even one word of the gospel to the people there. And how tired and in pain his body and his spirits would have been when he had to risk his life, had to pass by Perga and cross over the rugged and steep Taurus Mountains to head to Pisidian Antioch, which had a completely opposite environment from Perga. But this is where precisely God's mysterious providence lies. Because Paul had to seek out Pisidian Antioch over the Taurus Mountains due to his endemic illness at the time, the gospel could be declared to the people of Galatia and churches could be built there. But that may not be so significant because it is clear that even if Paul had not come down with the endemic disease and spread the gospel in Pamphylus region, centered in Perga, as he had initially planned, many churches would have been built in that area. If there were an absolute significance to the course Paul's trip took, that he unexpectedly came down with an endemic disease, had to go to Pisidian Antioch, that is Galatian region, it was in Galatians being recorded as a result. As I mentioned previously, Galatians was written as a letter to the believers of churches established by Paul in Galatian region and became a part of the New Testament. 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Ephesians, and Philippians, the 13 epistles of Paul in the New Testament were all letters sent by Paul to individuals or churches in the respective areas. But the reason why Romans and Galatians are put in an unrivaled position is because among such letters is because the essence of the gospel lies in these two letters. The Roman Church was spontaneously stirred into being even before Paul arrived at Rome, and therefore, among Paul's letters, Romans is the only letter that was written prior to Paul visiting a place in person. Paul, at a place he visited, delivered the gospel in spoken words, of course. And even if there was a need to write to those believers later, it was not necessary to repeat the content of the gospel that he had taught in writing. However, for the members of the Roman Church whom he had not met, he had to theologically and systematically depict what the gospel was through his Roman letters, since he hadn't had the chance to speak to them about the gospel in person. This is the very reason that Romans express and contains the essence of the gospel perfectly, and the reason that Romans is called the Gospel of Paul. It is not an overstatement to say that it is impossible to imagine the New Testament without Romans and Christianity that omits the Romans. In contrast, Galatians was written as replies to problems being faced by believers at Galatian churches. As I've already said, the Paul who visited Pisidian Antioch, delivered the gospel, and built churches in other Galatian cities, such as Lystra, Iconium, Derbe, came to have churches in those areas. The believers of Galatia who encountered the gospel of salvation were endowed with the grace of being filled with joy of new life. But before long, after Paul left, Jewish teachers of law who went there began to teach that one had to keep the laws of Moses and receive circumcision as a duty in order to be saved. And as a result, the believers of Galatians who have been saved and have been filled with the joy of the gospel fell into great confusion and despair. When Paul heard about this, he wrote to reconfirm the call of the gospel, which is that one becomes righteous only by faith and not through good deeds performed under the law, and that the process of faith was that sanctification was to follow as its result. This letter became Galatians. That is why Galatians, which proclaims the power of the gospel, which frees men from all of the fetters of the law and condemnation, is known as the Magna Carta of freedom of Christianity. This is the reason that Galatians, together with Romans, are the two letters with greatest importance among Paul's letters. What is noteworthy is that Martin Luther, who raised the curtain to the Reformation in the 6th century, was deeply influenced by Galatians. It is not strange at all that Martin Luther became free from the unbiblical contradictions and restrictions and formalities of the corrupt, the then corrupt Roman Catholic Church of the Middle Ages, and raised the flag of Reformation based on Galatians that declares freedom from all fetters of the law. Not only that, Galatians is alive with the power of the gospel to free all men, even today, 2,000 years later. If we look back from such perspective, it could not have been but God's mysterious providence that Paul, who took the trouble to sail to Perga from Cyprus Island, unexpectedly came down with an endemic illness and had to go to Pisidian Antioch, Galatia, over the rugged and steep Taurus mountains. A letter that a fellow member of the church sent to me a long time ago contained the following words that have deep significance. I have thought that there is more of becoming than doing in life. And when I begin again based on what I have been made into becoming, before I know it, I discover that I'm standing yet again on what I have been made to become. For me, life seems to be a continuous repetition of this process. What is important is that what I have been made into becoming exerts a pull on what I do or what I try to do. I clearly feel that a force external to me is leading me towards what I am becoming, which is different from what I plan to do. No one can object to these words because each of our past lives prove that they are true. Isn't this so? As we look back on our lives, are we able to deny that there were many more things that happened regardless of our will, and that it is those events that led our lives to this moment? Paul also was not an exception to this.
젊은 시절의 바울이 다메섹을 찾아갔던
The reason that he headed to Damascus in his youth was to hunt down Christians there and bring them to Jerusalem and imprison them. This was what he originally planned to do. But on that very road, young Paul became captivated by the light of the Lord and became a Christian. This was something that happened contrary to what Paul had wanted to do. Paul, who was saved by the Lord, wanted to become the evangelist of the gospel in Damascus and Jerusalem. But the Lord, by making him seclude himself in his hometown Tarsus for 13 years, made him to become mature as a servant of the Lord, who was humble inside and out and was fully ready. That too was something that happened regardless of his will. And this also is true of today's text. Paul, who became the leader of the missionary team at Paphos at Cyprus, ambitiously sailed to Perga, which was far larger than Salamis or any other city of Cyprus island. That is to say, Perga was the first destination Paul aimed for after he became the leader of the missionary team. As soon as he arrived at Perga, Paul was planning to preach the love and life of the Lord to people there. However, totally unexpectedly, Paul ended up getting an endemic disease. And due to that endemic disease, Paul had to go to Pisidian Antioch. And as a result, the Galatians, which made Reformation possible, came into being. And all this was, quote, what was made into being. And all of what was made into becoming became the driving force that led Paul to become the great Apostle Paul, as we know him today through the Bible. It is needless for us to say that it was God who worked to make possible all of what was made into becoming that led Paul to become the Paul we know today. How moved Paul must have been in being able to confirm such mysterious grace of the Lord daily in his life. That is why Paul confessed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, that, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul realized exactly that he was made into who he was presently by the grace of God only. The providence of God only, and not because he tried to become that person. And so his confessions becomes this commitment that is revealed in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now as always Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. When Paul recorded this writing, he was in prison in Rome. But far from being in despair or blaming God, he instead made the resolve that he will live only for Christ, whether by life or by death. There is no more precious life than the life in which the will of God, which is coming into being, becomes fulfilled in midst of the situation faced by him, regardless of what the situation may be. And Paul knew this. If everything that we had wanted to do in our past had been realized without fail, what would have become of us today? Wouldn't we, after all, be lost in pitch black darkness, blinded by our desires? The more we think about it, are we able to deny that we are sitting here today in this way because of the things that were made into becoming in our lives, regardless of our will, while the things that we had wanted to do didn't come through? And don't we know better than anyone that the agent behind all things that were made into becoming is God and not us? If so, as Paul confessed, can't we but confess that we are what we are only by the grace of God? Furthermore, shouldn't we also live having wholly entrusted our lives to God, Paul as our example, whether in life or in death? It is then that the mysterious providence of God, that coming into being, that would unfold amazingly, unfathomably in our lives, even when our lives run into an unexpected calamity in a street corner of Perga, and as a result, we don't have a choice but to climb over the high and steep peaks of Mountain Taurus and head towards Pisidian Antioch of Galatia, a place we don't even know. There is no more a beautiful life than the life that is made into becoming daily in the hands of God, because that life in itself is a bundle of miracles of God. Let us pray. Thank you that you have let me become the Christian that I am today because of what have been made into being by you and not by what we wanted to do. Thank you that I have become who I am only by the grace of God. Thank you for making us realize that for those who entrust their lives into the hands of God, failure of men is not a failure, but rather the life that is made into becoming within the hands of God through such failures is in itself a bundle of miracles of God. Lead us to live lives that only glorify you, regardless of situations, whether by life or by death. Help me not to fall into despair or lose heart, even when my life is now diseased at a street corner of Perga, but rather grant me the courage to rise and go over the Taurus mountains of my life towards Pisidian, Antioch of Galatia, the place where I am to go under God's guidance. And may such lives of ours become the Magna Carta of love and life for this age that brings true freedom to the people who are caught in the trap of desires, sins, and darkness. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.